The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to his servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the servant called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests had become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Holy Gospel, according to John. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the light of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In our gospel today, Jesus, along with his mother and disciples, is a guest at the wedding of friends in the village of Cana in his native Galilee. Wedding celebrations at that time and in that culture lasted a whole week, and they have just run out of wine. Jesus is not at first inclined to do anything about it. He says that his time has not yet come to begin his public ministry, but his mother insists. Which brings us to the first, and some may argue, most important lesson of this story: always listen to your mother. Jesus has the stewards fill the six stone purification jars there with water. And John tells us that there were six jars that held about 20 to 30 gallons each, so somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons of water. This water would have been used to cleanse the guests' hands before they ate, in keeping with the Jewish purification rites of that time. And Jesus tells them to take a sample of it to the chief steward, and behold, the water has turned to wine, and really good wine. Now, let's do the math. Let's say there's 180 gallons. Have you ever seen 180 gallons of anything, anywhere? When you go to the milk cooler at the grocery store, maybe there's 40 or 50 gallons. And who has seen 180 gallons of wine, except perhaps at the annual women's retreat? We laugh because it's true. If you get out your kitchen conversion chart and your calculator, it winds up being the equivalent of about 1,000 standard size bottles of wine. That's an incredible amount of wine, 1,000 bottles, and good wine at that. It reminds me of a story that we heard recently at Horst Dammertsch's memorial service. Horst had invited a colleague and his wife over to dinner, and so the colleague who shared the story at the memorial service went to the wine store and talked with the staff there about some options, and it came down to a choice between the $20 bottle of wine and the $40 bottle of wine. We've all been there. And he thought about it for a bit, and he went with the $20 bottle of wine to take to dinner. And when he got to Horst and Ingrid's, he saw that Horst had gotten the $40 bottle of wine for his guests. And Horst, knowingly and graciously and hospitable as ever, said, "Let's open them both and try them each." And the colleague noted that the $40 bottle was definitely better. And so in our story, Jesus saves the day with very good wine. He saves the wedding couple and their families from the embarrassment of running out of wine during the wedding celebration. He makes sure that the celebration would continue and last the week, and he blessed them with even better wine than they started with. In John's gospel, this is the first of seven major miracles, or what John calls signs, and the first event of Jesus' public ministry. And in life, as in literature, as in the Bible, firsts are very important. They set a tone. They anticipate what is to come later in the story. And this first sign is all about Jesus and God's extravagant abundance. One commentator writes, "The sign of Jesus changing the water into wine points us to something far more valuable than the wine itself, as fine as the wine may be. It points us to the source of all life and joy. Jesus' extravagant miracle of changing the water into wine is a sign that in him, life, joy, and salvation have arrived. At the beginning of John's gospel, the narrator told us that in him was life, and that life was the light of all people. And later in the gospel, Jesus will tell us, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life is more than mere existence and survival, and certainly more than abundance of material things. Abundant life is to know and be known by the one through whom all life came into being. It is to have an intimate relationship with the one who loves us so much that he doesn't know how to stop giving. In Jesus, we have an abundant, extravagant source of grace to sustain us, grace that is more than sufficient to provide where we fall short and to give us joy even amidst sorrow and struggle. Abundant life means that in Christ we are joined to the source of true life, life that is rich and full and eternal, life that neither sorrow nor suffering nor death can destroy. Abundance is not exactly something we've encountered a lot during COVID, unless perhaps it is an abundance of sweatpants and time at home and Zoom calls and binge watching, at least for our family. Life has been scaled back, slimmed down. And even so, we still share in this abundant life in God. In faith, we perceive abundance in the midst of what feels like scarcity. We find God turning our water into wine time and again. In fact, it may be that this experience has helped us to see the abundance where it has always been, when we actually can celebrate the fact that we have a daily routine, where we appreciate and spend time in nature and creation in new ways, and revel being together with family, friends, and neighbors, and no longer taking these moments for granted. In his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus shows us that God is a God of extravagant abundance. Here in Cana, turning the water into wine, and when he turned 5 loaves and 2 fish into a meal for 5,000 people, when he heals 10 lepers at once, in his baptism and Last Supper, where he turns water, bread, and wine into the stuff of life, and laying down his life on the cross so that we may live abundantly and eternally. And he shows up for us always when we are running low and running out, turning our water into wine, showing us hope, and showering us with grace. As I was preparing my annual report this week, I was looking back on the 5 weddings that I had a chance to perform this past year. Along with baptisms, weddings have been such a hopeful thing in these times, and they were all smaller than they might have been, and most of them were outside. One was in a garden, another a park, one on a ship, and another at an arts center outside. But there was such an extravagant abundance there, not in the number of people or the trappings, but in love. I remember at Nicole and Sean's wedding in the garden at Normandy Farms, we released butterflies in memory of Nicole's late mother. And when we released them, they rested on the wedding party and the guests, almost as a blessing. And as they warmed up, they flew away. But one of them stayed on Nicole the whole time during the whole service. And it was a symbol to her of her mother's presence there with her. At Kelsey and Tristan's service at the Valley Green Inn overlooking the Wissahickon Creek, the geese who make their home there really wanted to be part of the service. And so I asked the geese, along with the people, whether they would commit to support Kelsey and Tristan in their new life together. And I'm pretty sure they quacked back yes. And on the deck of the ship Mushilu, downtown on the Delaware River, as the sun was setting, Susan and Ron, who have known each other since their high school days, were married in a ceremony that felt like a wedding as well as a reunion, of family and longtime friends. The extravagant abundance that we experienced there was not in the material things, as can sometimes be the case in weddings, but in the love, grace, gratitude, and joy shared by those who gathered together. There was so much love and laughter, expectation and anticipation, hope and abundance. And this is what Jesus came to bring us when he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, that we may experience the abundant and undeserved love and grace of God, that we might know gratitude and experience joy, that we might know ourselves as God's beloved, worthy of God's extravagant, abundant love. And as we have received that love, that we share it with others and bless them as well." Amen.